We're starting our study in the book of Philippians this evening, and I want to read verses 1 and 2 of chapter 1, where it says, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to give us a little background material on how the church at Philippi was established. It's very interesting things that I discovered while digging around in the book of Acts, because actually you find out how the church was established by looking in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 16, verses 9 and 10, it says, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. By the way, he was in Turkey or in Asia Minor, and he got a vision in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia praying him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. It's interesting here to note the personal pronouns that are being used here, which implies that Paul wasn't writing this, but Luke was. And it says, and we endeavored to go into Macedonia. That is, Paul and Silas and Luke. And we will find out a little later on, it was Timothy as well. Because in the first chapter, or the first verse of Acts 16, Paul is introduced to Timothy, and he says, Timothy, I want you to go with us. So when Paul left to go to Macedonia, it was Paul and Silas and Luke and Timothy. They were the entourage that went to Macedonia. Now, in Acts chapter 16, verse 12, it says, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. Paul passed by several cities on his way to Philippi, but Philippi was the central city. Philippi was a Roman city, and there's a lot of history associated with it. Some people think that that Luke got his doctoral training in that city. But that there's no scriptural proof of that, but it's just something interesting to think about. And it was used at one time for the garrisons, the Roman garrisons, to protect a gold mine that was close by. But here they are, they made a beeline to the chief city. In other words, the Lord didn't tell them what specific city, so they went to the main one. And then in verse 13 it says, and on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a river, where prayer was wont to be made. We sat down and spake unto the women who resorted thither. In other words, there was no synagogue in Philippi. There were women at the river. A lot of times water was needed in the synagogue for washings in the Old Testament. In other words, they washed, cleansing, part of their ceremonial activity. And the reason they didn't have a synagogue probably was because it takes 10 men to establish a synagogue. So there were not 10 men in this place. Now, why did Paul go down to the river where the women were praying? And why did he do it on the Sabbath? Because that was his habit. In Acts chapter 17, verses 1 and 2, it says, and they came to Thessalonica, there was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them. So Paul sought out Jews to begin his ministry, because Jews were saved. They did not, their salvation was based upon the law of Moses, which was the only way of salvation before Jesus came. That was the way that Joseph and Mary were saved. That was the way that Simeon and Anna were saved, by embracing and believing in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So Paul went to synagogues because that's where believers were, in the God that he worshipped and served. Now, something interesting. In Acts chapter 13, verse 43, it says, "Now when the congregation..." And this congregation is in Antioch of Pisidia, "was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God." The reason I'm bringing this verse out is here is there were Gentiles there in that synagogue. There were Jews and Gentiles, proselytes. Even though you were a proselyte, you were still a Gentile. And the kingdom message was still, or was not open to Gentiles until after the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want you to see that in synagogues, you're going to find some proselytes. You're going to find some Gentiles. And the reason I'm bringing this out is that when he went down by the river, there were no Gentiles involved. Just women. No Gentiles. There may have been some men there, but there weren't 10 of them. I'm not saying that there weren't any men there. But the scriptures do not say. And the message that Paul presented to the ladies was not "believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." It was a different message entirely. And it says, "A certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul." Now Lydia was in the dye business, fabric business. She was selling things that were purple. Of course, now they call it Turkish red. It was a red garment. But anyway, and they dyed, and they got the dye of clams, and then they changed over to a root. But it's interesting here to note that she was of the city of Thyatira. Thyatira is a city that you find in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 11. It was where a church was. And you find it also in one of the letters to the churches, to the church of Thyatira, as well as the other six churches. And in chapter 2 and verse 18. Now Lydia was a lady who worshipped God. And the word "worship" is in the present tense. It was not a religious thing. She worshipped the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and they met on the Sabbath. They were honoring the law of Moses, which they had been taught. And it says that she worshipped God, and she heard us. In other words, she heard Paul speaking. The word "us" is in italics. And the word "heard" is in the perfect tense. In other words, she didn't go to sleep. She kept on hearing, and she was very attentive. The Lord just was moving in her heart, and she hung on every word that Paul was saying. That's what I get out of the word "heard" in the perfect tense. She kept on hearing. And it says, "whose heart the Lord opened." And the word "open," according to Strong's, means to thoroughly open. In other words, he pulled the veil away in her heart, and she was able to put things together that Paul was teaching. And it says, and she attended, present tense, and this word attended, carries the idea of having regard. She esteemed, she regarded what Paul was teaching because she could see the value of his ministry to her and to the rest of those that were at the river. Now, it says that in verse 15 of Acts 16, it says, and when she was baptized and her household, in other words, she heard the message and she was baptized. What is baptism associated with? Preparation for entering into the kingdom of heaven. She wasn't hearing the plan of salvation. She was hearing the message of how to rule and reign with Christ in His coming kingdom. And the prerequisites, or the requirements for baptism, I believe, are very clearly set out in Acts chapter 8, verses 36 and 37. And as they went on their way, that is, Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And the word believest is in the present tense. It's not aorist, it's in the present tense. Thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe, present active, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's not the way of salvation. That's a testimony of one who wants to enter the kingdom of heaven and to rule and reign with Christ in that kingdom. And to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God means that He will one day rule and reign. And the Ethiopian eunuch wanted to rule and reign with the Lord, and so therefore he believed, present tense, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, in Philippi, there was another thing that happened. Now, I didn't include the incident of the young damsel that was casting out demons, reading tea leaves and predicting the future. I don't know if she was reading tea leaves or not, but she was able, through a demon, to be able to predict the future. And those that were farming her out were making pretty good money on that. And it was a hindrance to Paul's ministry. But I don't want to deal with that so much as I want to go on to Acts 16, 31, 30 and 31. And it says, and brought them out. That is, the Philippian jailer brought out Paul and Silas. Obviously, Luke and Timothy were just in town. They didn't know what to do. They were not in jail with Paul and Silas. But anyway, and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And the word believe here is not in the present tense, it's in the aorist tense, it's an event. So Paul began with the Philippian jailer, who is a Gentile. No Gentiles at the creek or at the river, but there was a Gentile by himself. So this man had no Jewish history or influence that we know of, separated. He was a Roman. And it was not an issue with Lydia, who was already saved and worshiping God. In other words, Lydia did not need to be saved. And so Paul did not tell her to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. Now, in Acts 16, 32 and 33, it says, and they spake unto him the word of God. Now, the word of the Lord in the King James, but there's textual commentary. In fact, the 24th edition of Nestle's has the word of God rather than the word of the Lord. So, Paul spoke to him about the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven and to all that were in his house. And it says, and he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his house straightway. Now, Luke chapter 8, verse 10 and 11, and I know that I'm repeating, but it's helpful to you to hear it again so you remember where it is. The seed that was sown is defined. In other words, this is the parable of the sower, and here we have the seed defined. What was being sown by the Lord, or by the sower. And in verse 10 it says, and he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. The word of God is the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God. So, Paul told the Philippian jailer how to be saved. Then he presented to him the privilege of ruling and reigning with Christ, the mysteries of the kingdom. And of course, what happened is that the Philippian jailer repented. What had he done? Well, he beat Paul with a rod and threw him in prison. And it says, and we just read it in verse 33 of Acts 16, he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. That's a whole lot different than beating them with a rod. He washed their stripes. He changed. He had a different attitude toward Paul. And it says, and he was baptized in all his house. Now, the Philippian jailer repented, and he was baptized, and he was allowed to be baptized because he believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. And he was believing in the present tense. Not only the jailer, but also his household as well. In other words, all those in his house were saved, and they embraced the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And it was straightway. I mean, there was the Lord just simply opened this truth to them, and they responded to it and believed it. Now, in verse 34, it says, and when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoicing, believing in God with all his house. In other words, he brought Paul into his own house and ministered to him. Now, we just read in Acts 16:15 that when Lydia was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, "If ye judge me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there." And she constrained them. So here we have two houses: we have the Gentile house, we have the Jewish house. The Jewish house. But you know what? We're going to find out that those houses become one in just a minute. Now, we'll find that out in Acts chapter 16, verse 40. And they, not we, were some. Luke is writing this, and he's talking about they. And the they here went out of the prison. Well, who were in the prison? The Philippian jailer, Paul, and Silas. They went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. So, everybody started meeting over at Lydia's house. Now, and when they, that is Paul, Silas, and Timothy, because you find Timothy joining Paul and Silas and Luke in 16:3, had seen or had knowledge of the brethren. In other words, when they went into Lydia's house, Paul and Silas and those that were with him just didn't see the brethren. And they just didn't say, oh, I see you're here. More to it than that, okay? The word seen here is to know or have knowledge of. In other words, it was more than just simply seeing who they were and where that they were there. They learned some things about the brethren while they were with them. And after learning some things about the brethren when they were with them, they comforted or exhorted them and departed. In other words, they spent some time to learn who they were and what they were doing and where they were. And they were brethren. And we have, and you know who a brother is. A brother is one who is seeking to do the will of the Father that he might enter the kingdom of heaven. And so we see the brethren being together in Lydia's house, Paul knowing them, and he was able to exhort them according to the knowledge that he gained with them being there with them in Lydia's home. Now, the book of Philippians is addressed to brethren. The word brother is used 9 times in the book of Philippians. And I just included those 9, or not all 9 of them, because some of them were referring to other brethren that were not at Philippi. But in Philippians chapter 1 in verse 2, Paul says, I would ye should understand, brethren. He was addressing the brethren in the book of Philippians. And he had a desire for them to understand some things. And of course, the book of Philippians is demonstrating not only Paul's desire for them, but that he demonstrated his love for them. He wasn't just telling them things that he knew. He was expressing his love to them. Philippians 3:1. Finally, my brother, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Paul wanted them safe, and so he repeated himself so that they wouldn't forget. And so the brethren were hearing again what Paul had addressed them while he was in Philippi. I believe that he did that in Acts chapter 16, verse 40. Then in Philippians 3:13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this thing, one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Here he's reaching out to the brethren and exhorting them to move on. One of the things that we can happen to us is that we can get bogged down with our past. We need to forget the things that have happened to us in the past and get on with the things that are before us. And the things that were before him and those at Philippi was the high calling of God in Christ Jesus that is also found in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14. Then in Philippians 3:17 says, brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which so as ye have us for an example. In other words, brethren, follow me. And not only that, some of you brethren need to become role models as well, so that those in the body can follow you. So Paul exhorted the brethren to be followers together. That's mutual examples. Philippians 4:1, wherefore my brethren, dearly beloved, long for my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. He was expressing his love for the brethren. And we know that if you hate a brother, you're a murderer, and no murderer has life for the age. No brother, no murderer is going to rule and reign with Christ, particularly when you hate your brother. Then in Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, it says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. In other words, Paul had an opportunity to teach so that they could learn and that they could receive what he taught them. And they heard what he had to say, and they saw the practical application in Paul's life. And he says, if you do the things that you have seen and heard and learned from me, you're going to enjoy the presence of God's peace in your life. And these are all things that we will look at in the days ahead, in the weeks ahead, I guess. But anyway, Paul addresses the brethren. Now, in Philippians 1:1, it talks about Paul and Timotheus, two men who are servants, who are slaves of Jesus Christ. And I just included who Paul was so that we know that he was a Benjamite. He was one who was born as one born in the land. That's a unique thing, to be a descendant of one born in the land. But Philippians chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 gives us some insight into who Paul was. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Now a Pharisee believed in angels and the resurrection, where the others did not. So Paul was on the right side of the theological fence as far as the Jews are concerned. And concerning zeal, persecuting the church, which he was not proud of, and touching the righteousness which is of the law, blameless. Paul was just. That's what it means, touching the law, blameless. And Paul was an apostle. He was one who was sent. Colossians 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother. Paul was an apostle. Now, I included Acts chapter 16, verses 1 through 3, so you can see how Timothy is involved and is included in the ministry of Paul at Philippi. Acts 16, verse 1. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple there, named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed, but her father was a Greek, or his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. In other words, Timothy had a testimony in Lystra and Iconium, as well as his mother, and his grandmother as well. But anyway, it says in verse 3, him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. And Timothy also was a man of faith as well. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelleth first in thy grandmother Lois, and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. The unfeigned, to be unfeigned means to be real. Paul saw real faith, sincere faith, in Timothy. Because what does faith produce? Faith produces hope. Hope in what? The hope of glory. The hope of ruling and reigning with Christ. The hope to be found pleasing unto God. For without faith it is impossible to please him. And Timothy had some pluses. He had a mother who had faith, and he had a grandmother who had faith. And Paul was persuaded because of his association with Timothy that his faith was real also. I'm looking forward to our study of Philippians. I trust that you will read the book every day. Father, I just thank you for this opportunity to share how you orchestrated the lives of Lydia and Paul and Silas and Timothy and Luke and the Philippian jailer. We thank you, Lord, that we see that Paul had a ministry to the Jews and he had a ministry to the Gentiles. And they both responded to the gospel of the glory of Christ, which is the Word of God. And they were numbered with the brethren in Lydia's home. We thank you for it. We pray that you would bless our time of studying in this book in the days and months ahead. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.